Jesus, when he would preach, he would sit down. That's how you knew he was about ready to preach. So I guess I can sit down too, right? Sorry.
Just trying to make sure that it's...
So I'm a photographer, and everybody, and I work in a hospital, so everybody has masks on. So I'm going around, and I just out of habit, I'm going, okay, smile. Oh, wait, never mind. You don't smile with your eyeballs. Smile with your eyeballs. New challenges for all us photographers. So sickness, disease, drought, crop failures, famine, pestilence. No protection from God over enemies, both externally and internally. I mean, it's clear that the curses of Leviticus chapter 26 are happening to the modern day descendants of Israel. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 29. In Deuteronomy 29, we'll read verses 24 and 25. And it says, indeed, all the nations will wonder, why has the Lord done this to this land? What caused this great display of anger? They will conclude it was because they abandoned the covenant of the Lord, the God of their ancestors. I mean, many of God's laws are self-enforcing, meaning breaking them brings about these punishing consequences. And we see that in Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 19, where it says, your own wickedness will correct you, and your backsliding will prove you. And again in Jeremiah 4, verse 20, I had a minister who read this verse years and years ago. And it says, disaster follows disaster. In an instant, my tents are destroyed. My shelter falls in a moment. So it appears that wave after wave of problems will hit this country as God begins to break the pride of its power. And just look at our sort of recent history. Think of the Columbia space shuttle disaster, or the Y2K scare. I mean, think of how our technology has been sort of used for evil with all the spying on each other now. I mean, this really has showed us that our technology really is hollow. Look at the last presidential race, or what is happening all around us right now. I mean, it really shows that the reliability of our government is questionable, if not downright fragile. The collapse of the economy, or look how quick just this our whole nation shut down. I mean, it really shows us that our financial wealth is suspect. And think about the events of 9/11 or Sandy Hook, which happened right around here, or the recent riots that are happening right now in our country. I mean, really the security of our nation is compromised. I mean, even our children are not safe. So within this environment, turn to Acts chapter 17. I think there's a really powerful verse here in Acts chapter 17. And we'll read verse 26. It says, from one man, he, God, made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appropriate times in history and the boundaries in their lands. I mean, I believe that this verse shows us that God specifically called us out of this world to be used at this very time in history. So today, let's just review a few things about this environment that we're in. In really in the midst of this ever-increasing fray that is happening around us. And let's look at a few specific actions that God is calling us to do within this environment. I mean, when you think about the traumatic events that have recently hit this country, and knowing that there will be more. I mean, there are a few points that we need to remember about the trials this nation is going through as it moves further and further from God. The first thing is, the trials that are hitting this country are inevitable. I mean, as this country moves further and further from God, consequences are going to be played out. I mean, we know that being in the church. When God was taking ancient Israel out of Egypt, I mean, one of the reasons for the plagues was to show Israel the power of God. And it's interesting to realize in the end, the Egyptian people saw it and they believed God's power, but the Israelites did not. I mean, and really today, America is not acting much different. I mean, God's warning to this nation really are not being heeded at all. God has called us when more and more difficult times and discouragement are increasing all around us. I mean, we are in times of suffering and sorrow and sickness, times of frustration and failure and fatigue. I mean, in part, it really is part of God's plan to break the pride of this nation. It's prophesied, it's part of his overall plan. And really, we should not be surprised by it. I think the second thing about trials that are happening is that they're impartial. No one is immune from them. No one is insulated from the pain and sorrow that is all around us. I mean, everybody is affected by them, good people and bad people. I mean, we are in the middle of the unraveling of this nation. Problems and trials and difficulties, disturbances, downtimes, depression. You know, the Bible is very clear that good things happen to bad people and that sometimes bad things happen to good people. I mean, in this life, we know that there is an element of time and chance. I think a third thing that we can learn from these trials around us is that trials are purposeful. I mean, God has a reason for what is happening. They can serve a multitude of purposes. One is to punish overall this nation, but it also can serve to prove specifically and individually our faith. I mean, we might feel doubt sometimes or depression or discouragement, but what's amazing about our God is he can take and use that for a very good purpose. I mean, God wants to build our faith in the valleys of life. Well, so as this turbulence is swirling around us, I mean, how do we respond? I mean, as Christians, how do we react to living in really is an unsafe world? I mean, where does our security come from? As believers, we draw our strength from a different source than those people who do not know God. Turn to Psalms chapter 124. In Psalms 124, verse 8, it says, "Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." I mean, how good is that? But really, what does that mean in practical terms? I mean, how does that play out in times that we are in right now? Well, our security in an unsafe world comes from several areas which Scripture teaches us. First, we need to clearly understand that our security is in God. It is not in the things of this world. I sort of laugh because gun sales have gone, I mean, skyrocketed recently. I mean, it's going through the hope, but our hope is in God. It is in nothing else. Psalms chapter 20. In Psalms 20 and verse 7 and 8, it says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the Lord our God. They are brought to their knees and fall, but we rise up and stand firm. I mean, our faith is not in our military power. Our faith is not in the handguns that we might have in our house or even our money. Our faith, our hope is in the Lord our God. In times like these, we need to remind ourselves just that. Psalms 55, verse 22. It says, cast your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous fall. I think the second truth that we need to have planted deeply in our lives is our security is in our faith, not our safety. I mean, security is not about safety. It's about faith and courage. I mean, we want to be safe, right? I think that's important for everyone, but it's important for us to be secure in our faith and in our courage of God. Psalms chapter 125. In Psalms chapter 125, verse 1, it says, but those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken, but endures forever. I mean, security is not in the abundance of trouble, but confidence and courage in the midst of trouble comes from our faith. Our confidence should not be shaken because we have a God who's in complete control of this universe. Psalm 16, verse 8. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Psalms 121, verse 2. I will lift my eyes up to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Really, what words could be more encouraging than John 16, verse 33, where Jesus said, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Remember, God has called us here and now for a very specific purpose. We have courage, not because we are strong, but because we have a God who is powerful beyond words and rules over everything. I think third, we have to remember that our security is in eternity. It is not in the present circumstances. If we're looking only at the present circumstances of life, we will be shaken. I mean, these are scary times around us. But if our life is grounded in eternity, if we see the bigger picture, we will stand firm. I mean, as Christians, our life have an eternal dimension. We know that nothing happens here that can harm us or change the things that matter the most to us, and that is our relationship with God. Nothing can change that. Nothing can take that away. I mean, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1, now we know that if the earthly tent that we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. When we're grounded in eternity, our lives are built on a foundation that cannot be shaken. Romans 8, verse 28, familiar verse. And we know that in all things God works for good for those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. I mean, God works in all situations in our life to eventually bring about good. He does not cause them, but he uses whatever situation we might find ourselves in. I mean, we understand that when terrorists attack, or with this COVID-19, or all the riots that are going on now, I mean, that might not be specifically God's will, but those who did those things, the terrorist acts, I mean, went against God's will, and God probably had nothing to do with it, but God will use those very evil things for his eternal purpose. That's what makes our God just so amazing. I mean, our confidence does not go up and down with the stock market. Our security is not how good the news is on television. And our confidence is not shaken when tragedies strike. In Psalms 46, verse 10, God says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." In the end, God will judge this evil that is in this world. God will triumph over the evil. Truth eventually will be victorious over the lies that are all around us. And love will win out over hate. And God wins. Romans 8, verse 35, and I'm going to read this in the New Living Bible. It says, "Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean that he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or are hungry or cold or danger or threatened with death? No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from his love. Death can't, and life can't. The angels can't, and the demons can't. Our fears for today's, our worries for tomorrow, or even the powers of hell can't keep God's love away. Whether we are high above the sky or in the deepest ocean, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord." Wow, what powerful words those are. So with our calling coming at this most difficult time in history, God wants those connected to him to do something very specific as we navigate these troubled waters. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. In 2 Corinthians 1, we'll read verses 3 through 5. "Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows." I mean, in all this unrest, think about other people. People need comfort. In all this violence around us, people need peace. In all this confusion, people need hope. Well, Christ gives comfort to us. He loves us with an eternal love that will not die. Well, having a relationship with God brings peace in the middle of the troubled times that we are in. It brings hope to us when we feel hopeless, and it brings us strength when we feel weak. And comfort, I mean, does not remove us from the difficult situations that we're in or the suffering, but it does bring us strength and encouragement and hope to deal with whatever difficulties we might find ourselves in. John 14, verse 1 shows us that where our peace comes from. John 14, verse 1. Says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. I mean, the cure for our troubled heart is to trust God. Our hope comes from an eternal being. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Our hope comes from an eternal promise. I will never leave you or ever forsake you. Our hope comes from an eternal plan. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him might not perish but have eternal life. And our hope comes from the eternal perspective. Now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. And we have an anchor in troubled times. And whether you realize it or not, that is noticed by other people. Remember when 9/11 happened? I mean, the next day this coworker came up to me, very concerned about her family. And she asked if I thought that if this was the start of the end time biblical prophecy. And I was kind of surprised by that because she kind of asked me out of nowhere, and she asked me some very deep questions about the future of the country and what the tribulation was. Because I had never really talked to her specifically about my religion or my beliefs, but she saw something and she was seeking comfort in troubled times. I mean, I think no one knows what tomorrow holds, but we know who holds tomorrow. I mean, in these troubled times, people need comfort. People need peace. People need hope. Well, God has given us comfort, and he wants us in turn to use that to help others. Because in the end, it points eventually those people to God. I mean, Job tells us that he wished his friends would have encouraged and comfort and soothe his suffering. And I think as this world becomes more and more chaotic, God does not leave us in the midst of this to fend for ourselves. God's Spirit is living in each one of us. And through that Spirit, God equips us to handle whatever situation we might face. Matthew 10, verse 19. Matthew 10, verse 19, it says, "When they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speaks, but it is the Spirit of your Father speaking through you." In one way that the Holy Spirit equips us is it gives us the right words to say when we find ourselves in the midst of a tribulation with other people around us. John 14, verse 26. "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring you remembrance all that I have said to you." And then that's the key right there for how we can prepare, is that the relationship with God that we have, it needs to be strengthened right now. It needs to be strengthened through Bible study and through prayer, through meditation. I mean, a drawing near to God for us, I mean, we need to strengthen it as much as we can right now. I mean, I think if nothing else, this time, if this is a baby, you know, little event that's about ready to happen, it really showed us, wow, we really need to be closer to God to go into situations like this. I mean, that's really what helps us to prepare, not only for ourselves and our faith, but also to help other people. I mean, what words of God brings us comfort and encouragement at times like these? Jeremiah 29, verse 11, Joshua 1, verse 5, Revelations 21, verse 4. I mean, and there's dozens and dozens of Psalms. The list goes on and on. I mean, try to memorize some of those so that you can use those when the event might be right, when somebody is seeking comfort or hope. I mean, trust God to give us the words to comfort others in some of these turbulent times that we are in. So in conclusion, think about this topic and think about what God is asking us to do right here and right now. I mean, the key to our actions really is preparing right now. Move closer to God. Build a stronger relationship with Him now. Make valuable use of your time now. I mean, learn as much as you can about the Word of God. Just amazing a passage that I just love. It's in Isaiah 60, and it's verse 1 through 3. In Isaiah 60, verse 1, it says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and a thick darkness is over the people. But the Lord rises upon you, and His glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn." It's amazing to me how people are unaware of the spiritual world. John 10:10 tells us that Satan comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. And look what's happening today. Look at the riots that are happening. They are not just political. There's a spiritual element, a spiritual darkness that is at work in this world right now. In this environment, God is telling us to arise and shine. John, 1 John 5, verse 4, tells us that we overcome the world by our faith in truth. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Shine. Now, when Jesus was 12 years old, his parents lost him, and they eventually found him in the synagogue. And Jesus said, "Why are you searching for me? Don't you know I had to be in my Father's house?" Jesus knew what his purpose was. And in Colossians 4, verse 17, Paul tells Crispus, "See to it that you complete the ministry you have received in the Lord." I mean, we shine by doing and completing the ministry that God has given to us in this time right now. So let us reflect through Jesus Christ, faith and peace and courage and hope. And let it radiate out of us and be given to others who so desperately need it in these times. Arise, shine.
Okay, if you please stand one more time and turn to page 6 in your hymnal. And we're going to say one more time to God, and thank you, Kent, for your message, and both Mark, too, for today's messages. And we're going to be singing, "How Excellent is Thy Name."
We sang that.
Oh, I'm sorry, hymn number one, Blessed and Happy. Hymn number one, Blessed and Happy. My preferred hymn. Number one, Blessed and Happy is the Man.
stands in sinner's ways. All he does prospers well, but the wicked are not so. They are chaff before the wind, driven to and fro. Nourished on earth's share he sits, for he places his delight in God's law and meditates on it day and night. Oh, he does prosper well, but the wicked are not so. They are chaff before the wind, driven to and fro. He shall be a tree that grows, planted by the riverside, which in season yields its fruit, green its leaves abide. Oh, he does prosper well, but the wicked are not so. They are chaff before the wind, driven to and fro.
And now for the closing prayer, Mr. Diaz Vasquez.
Heavenly Father, Almighty God, we thank you for bringing us here today on this Sabbath, this beautiful day. We thank you for the words, the truth, the light that you've shared with us here today. And we ask you that you write them in our hearts and allow us to grow with them, Father, so that we may find comfort in these times of trouble. Also, Father, we ask you that we learn through your law of liberty and through your strength, Father, and this law to help unite us as a family, as the brethren of the church, Father, so that we may share that same comfort with the world as well. We ask, Father, now that as we close these services, that you bless us and you bless the fellowship that will be happening afterwards, Father. We ask all this in the name of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
So everybody just hang in here for a while. We'll get the grill going and we'll have some good burgers and dogs. Courtesy of our master chef over here, Mr. Elias.
You ready for the burgers?
No, I can't.